And a few years ago, author Bennett Cerf was addressing an audience of doctors in San Diego. Afterwards, one of these doctors told him about an operation he had performed on an ill-tempered lady of about 80. The woman came through the surgery with flying colors, despite all of her dire prognostications. Nevertheless, she became quite agitated, very agitated, when the doctor told her that in accordance with the rules of the hospital, she would have to walk 10 minutes the very first day, and then would have to be out at the end of the week. Beds were at a premium. Well, she had her 10-minute walk the first day, tottering, but under her own steam, lengthened it to 20 minutes the second day, and by the time she went home, was stomping all over the hospital, including rooms where she had no right to be. You don't know anybody like that, do you? Your mother. Later, her family tried to pay the doctor a premium for his wonderful job. Nonsense, he laughed. It was a routine operation. The grandson, well, it's not the operation we're marveling over. It's her walking. The old girl hadn't taken a step in 6 years. What a wonderful story. She hadn't taken a step in 6 years, but she was walking now. Why? The doctor told her to. It's amazing what faith in a doctor or a teacher or a parent or a child will do. Did you know that there are only two people in the Bible that were praised by Jesus as having great faith? Only two. And you know what's remarkable? Both individuals praised by Jesus for their great faith were Gentiles. One of these with great faith was a Roman centurion in the town of Capernaum. You may remember the story. This centurion's servant, whom he valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some Jewish elders to Jesus, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. "This man deserves to have you do this," they said, "because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them to the centurion's home. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent Jesus a message via some friends. "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But you say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and turned to the crowd and said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." When the centurion's friends returned home, they found the servant well. The Roman centurion was one person Jesus praised for his great faith. The other was the persistent Canaanite woman in today's lesson. Her story is even more remarkable than the centurion's. In Jewish eyes, to be a Canaanite was about as low as a person could get. The Canaanites were looked upon by the Jews as an immoral people. In fact, if you remember back in the Old Testament with Joshua, God had commanded the army of Israel to destroy the Canaanite people. Israel did not fully obey God's order, and some Canaanites survived the invasion. This woman was their descendant. For a Canaanite woman to be called a person of great faith was an amazing development. Let me remind you, or let's go back through her story again. We learn in verse 21 that the story is set in the region of Tyre and Sidon, two Gentile cities in the northern region, not far from the Mediterranean. Then immediately in verse 22, this Canaanite woman came to Jesus crying out, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. So we see her situation. She's experiencing one of life's greatest heartaches. Her daughter, whom she so dearly loves, is suffering terribly. Is there a mother or father here today who would prefer not to suffer rather than to have one of your children suffer? You'll travel to the ends of the earth. You'll empty bank accounts if your child's suffering is severe enough. And this girl's suffering was evidently severe. We don't know for sure what this woman meant when she said that her daughter was oppressed by a demon. Her daughters may have been in physical pain or may have been emotional, or she was just demon-possessed. But it doesn't really matter. Pain is pain. Whatever the cause of her daughter's suffering, this woman believed that there was someone who might be able to help her, and his name was Jesus. She had heard that Jesus was a great teacher, a great healer. She knew he was Jewish, but if he could help her daughter, that is all that mattered to her. And so she came to where Jesus was and cried out, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And at this point, something happens that is quite troubling. Matthew tells us in verse 23, but he, being Jesus, did not answer her a word. This woman is in absolute distress. She cries to Jesus for help, and she gets silence. I've been there. I would guess many of you have been there too. Theologians have written profusely about the silence of God. If you've ever confronted a great challenge in your life, you may have experienced the silence. You've brought your need to Jesus, and you prayed, and with all your heart and soul, and the silence was deafening. You may even ask, where is my God? My child is suffering. Why won't God hear me? Many of the most notable people in the Bible were confronted with the silence of God. We remember Job lost his family, lost his health, lost the confidence of his wife, lost all his wealth. Few people ever suffered like Job. But when Job asked God why, God refused to tell him. Before Job, there is Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old before his first son was born. For many years, Abraham wondered not why, but when. When will I have a son? But God was silent. This poor Canaanite woman cried out, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he, Jesus, did not answer her word. Now, some believe that this woman was encouraged by Jesus' silence. I mean, at least he didn't immediately dismiss her. However, the woman's constant supplications were antagonizing the disciples. They came to the master and urged him to send her away, for she is crying out after us. Have you ever noticed that Jesus never sends anybody away? Doesn't matter their sex or their ethnicity or even their religion. Jesus never turns anyone away. Maybe he was being silent for dramatic effect because what happens next is certainly a watershed moment in his ministry. Maybe he was waiting for the disciples to see what they were going to do. Maybe they've learned something by now. Maybe they've learned a little compassion. When he breaks his silence in verse 24, he says something, again, quite disturbing to anyone who is not Jewish. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is this truly how Jesus viewed his ministry? not as the world's Savior, but only as a Messiah for the Jews? Or is he saying, up until this moment, my ministry has been directed exclusively toward the Jews, but I'm preparing to do a new thing? The Canaanite woman was certainly not put off by his words, for she came to him directly and knelt before him. And with a crushing load of love for her suffering daughter, in verse 25, she pleads, "Lord, help me." At this, Jesus made a reply that has puzzled scholars for 2,000 years. He replied in verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." What? Was Jesus calling this woman a dog? It may sound that way, but the word he used for dog was a common word for household pet. Dogs were not in good standing, but there were dogs that were household pets. So you could translate it, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the household pets." And to our ears today, that still sounds very harsh. But it may not have sounded harsh to those who heard him say it. Certainly the Canaanite woman was not offended as she replies in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She understood. This Canaanite woman understood that she was not part of the community to which Christ was sent. But she knew she still had a place within God's household. She was going to lay claim to the crumbs that were rightfully hers. And what was Jesus' response to this Canaanite woman? Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. You gotta love this woman. It's obvious that Jesus loved her. She understood that faith is more than subscribing to a certain creed. Faith is life lived in the knowledge that we are all part of God's family. And because we are part of that family, we have an innate dignity that no one can take away from us. It makes no difference your background, what school you attended, what color your skin. We are all God's children. And when we trust God, miracles can happen. William Booth was an English Methodist preacher who, along with his wife Catherine, founded the Salvation Army, and he became its first general. He once said, "God loves with a great love the person whose heart is bursting with a sublime passion for the impossible." The Canaanite mother dared believe the impossible, that her daughter could be healed if only Jesus said the word. The Canaanite woman was considered an outcast by the religious people of her time. Still, Jesus responded to her need. It may be that there is someone here today, or maybe someone listening to the recorded service, who feels estranged from God for some reason. Maybe you've been hurt by the church at some time in your life. Maybe you've been hurt or rejected or betrayed by someone who represented Christ to you. Maybe you have given in to temptation and the weight of your mistake has caused a wall to be erected in your own mind that makes you feel a stranger to God's grace. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. The Canaanite woman was part of a despised people, but that did not keep her from having a claim on God's grace, just like every person who has ever walked the earth, including you. I invite you today to bring your hurt to Jesus. I invite you to bring your need to Jesus. I invite you to bring your urgent plea to Jesus. He always responds to the pleas of people with faith. He knows your need. Today, give Jesus the chance to respond and bring healing to your situation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.